Now is the time, here is the place, and these are the people in which and with which we will witness the risen Christ. Would you stand together and join in our call to worship? Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We are here to celebrate his name, and we especially want to extend a word of welcome to any visitors who are with us today. And we encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate as a way to help us get to know you a little bit better and for you to get to know us a little bit better. You should also include your email address, and we can send you updates about opportunities and activities in the life of this congregation. Just one reminder about tonight. We do have Ms. Brooke Campbell, who's right over here. She'll be leading a few songs in worship today, offering those. But tonight at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, she'll be providing a concert for us. There's a love offering available to help cover the cost of her travel. She comes to us at her own expense, so we want to support her. It should be a stirring, moving just experience where she shares her story through music. And I encourage you to not only come, but to bring some friends with you as well. I would describe Brooke's music as sort of folk pop mixed with maybe some bluegrass and whatever else. Very soft, very subtle messages in there. So we encourage you to be a part of that. Also, there is an enduring need for someone to lead the, is it Missions Friends? Yes, Missions Friends, which is from 6:15. On Sunday evenings during our Sunday night activities, which start when?
Next Sunday.
So it's kind of an urgent need. Be in prayer. Maybe the Lord is calling you to help out with those young children. And of course, our adult Bible study is on Sunday nights at 4 o'clock before the meal. It's something we're going to try a little bit different. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that. If you've never come to Bible study on Sunday evenings, it's an opportunity for you to respond and explore more deeply the sermon. So whatever the scripture was and the message was from the sermon, if you have questions about it, maybe you have concerns about it, it's all good. It's all open to come and to take a deeper and closer look at that. Today as we worship, the waters are here. Waters of life. Waters of meaning, powerful symbol of new life in Christ. And we're here to celebrate and join with Samuel in his faith journey as he makes his statement of faith to all of us and to the world that he has died to himself, that he has risen to new life in Christ Jesus. I encourage you today to remember your own baptism, to remember what it meant, or to remember what it could mean for you in your life today as we continue to worship.
Our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 146 this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we have gathered here as a body united in your Son, Jesus Christ, to praise you. We praise you for what you have done. We praise you for what you are going to do today in worship. And we praise you for all the expectations that we bring with it. Father God, as we gather in this place as a family, may our thoughts be on you, because that is why we're here. We thank you for your presence with us this morning. And as we sing, as we read, as we pray, as we reflect, may it be a pleasing offering to your ears. We lift this prayer in your Son's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Psalm 136 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Let's do that. Please stand for our hymn of praise, Forever.
Invite all the children to join me here now on the steps for our children's time. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to sit? All right. Come on down, guys. I brought something with me in the sanctuary today. This is one of the favorite things I have in my office. I've got lots of toys in my office because I'm just still a kid. And this one is one that someone gave to me many years ago when I was working on a really, really hard project. They said, "Well, just make it easy." And so they gave me an easy button. Somebody can tap that button hard.
That was easy.
See that? Somebody want to tap it?
That was easy.
So anytime I have something tough to do, I just say,
"That was easy."
And it makes it so easy. All of a sudden, there's no difficulty at all. It's just a piece of cake. It's a snap. I just say,
"That was easy."
And it's done. You think that's true? You think this button makes things easier? No, it doesn't. It makes it worse? Well, it makes it more fun. For me, it makes it more fun. So the truth is that nothing can make things easier. Sometimes you just have hard things you have to do, don't you? Sometimes you're just going to have that tough test, and you have to take it. Sometimes you have that really terrible chore. What's your least favorite chore? Yeah?
You don't do any. Oh, you got a blessed life. Vacuuming, yes. You know what I hate to do? I hate to dust. I just hate dusting stuff, wiping that stuff down. Ugh. Anybody else have a least favorite chore? What's yours? Laundry. Nobody likes to do laundry. Nobody likes to do it. And dishes. Here's something for you adults. I read this the other day. It takes about 4 hours to cook a meal, like 3 minutes to eat it when you're in a hurry, and then 7 days and seven nights to wash the dishes. Amen? Nobody likes doing things that are hard, and nothing can make hard things easier. But here's a great word from God. God tells us in the Bible, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, forsake just means he's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to forget about you. That means even when we're doing tough stuff, he's not going to make the hard things go away, but he makes it so that we can get through it. He's there with us. He's there to help us. He's there to comfort us. And just knowing that God is with me when things are going tough really, really helps me. I hope it can help you out too. So next time you have something hard to do, something you don't like, just remember, God's with you even in those tough things, even in those bad things. Let's pray. Dear God, you are with us when things are good. Thank you. You are with us when things are bad. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. In your name, everybody say amen. Amen. All right, you can go back to your seats.
Please stand for our offertory hymn. It's in your hymnal number 524. We'll sing the first and second verse of We're Marching to Zion.
God, you are the giver of all good gifts. We give you thanks this morning for what you've blessed us with. We pray, Lord, now that you would receive a little bit of what is already yours. We give it freely because you have freely given. We entrust it to you because you've entrusted it to us. And Lord, we pray that you would take these gifts and use them. Use them to make lives better, to bring healing to those who are hurt, to bring joy to those who are in sorrow, to bring peace to those who are at war, to bring hope to those who feel so desperately hopeless. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Show me your ways, oh Lord. teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. You are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. All day long. When my way is hard and my mind is weak, you are all
told in the gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, entered the baptismal waters at the beginning of his ministry. It was a sign to those who watched and to those who followed of a ministry plan that was set before him. For centuries, Christian believers have entered the baptismal waters, signifying the change that has taken place in their heart, signifying a hope that they were carrying with them, signifying a call. This day, my oldest son, Samuel Durham, has chosen to enter the baptismal waters. Samuel came forward a couple weeks ago, but it was signifying a change that had taken place in his heart many, many months ago. And today, he enters these waters of baptism professing his faith in Jesus Christ. So Samuel, I ask you this day, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That he came to this earth to live a life of love and service and to show what true love looks like. And he showed this true love on the cross by dying for your sins. Do you profess faith in him that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose from the dead, signifying a change in life that we can have as we profess faith in him. Do you believe this?
I do.
Samuel, as profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for Samuel and for his trust in you. We are all challenged by it and encouraged by it. We pray, Lord, that you would bless his next steps in this new life, that you would provide those mentors, those trusted friends, those deacons and Sunday school teachers, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, to be his guides along the way, that as he travels in this faith journey, he would be strengthened day after day, learning more and questioning more as he struggles and wrestles with you. We pray, Lord, that you would use this congregation, that we would hold Samuel accountable and encourage him in his faith as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Samuel, this is just the beginning of your journey in Christ. And along the way, you're going to need people to stand by you and support you and love you. You know your mom and I will do that. And you have a church family here at First Baptist Elon who will be with you every step of the way. As a church family, if you promise to support and pray for Samuel as he begins his journey of faith, will you please stand? Samuel, these men and women of Christ are here to support and love you. They're going to be with you to answer questions, to challenge you with questions, and to lift you up in prayer every single day. Scripture tells us, though, that we don't end our journey at the baptismal waters, that this is just a beginning. And in Scripture, it tells us we are called to be the light of the world. So Samuel, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and your baptism, I challenge you as a follower of Christ to be the light of the world. But it doesn't stop there. Scripture also tells us that as followers of Christ, as servants for him, that we're called to be salt of the earth, that everywhere we go, that we carry that salt with us, that love that we have inside of us of him, and that we share that with him. Samuel, I challenge you to be the salt of the earth. Congregation, may be seated.
Justly over me, send flowers down my stream. Only you know what you mean with your thunder in the night. Thread feathers through my hair. Play music everywhere. Swell the anthill every air with your thunder in the night. Let the roof recede and the heavens glow. Let the people be free and let us know. Bring on the breath of spring. Let it grow and let it green. Let it blow and let it ring like your thunder in the night. Of all created things, nothing fills my heart to sing like the deep mystery of your thunder in the night. I'd let the roof recede and the heavens glow. Let the people be free.
Pray with me. Lord, as we come now to wrestle with you, we come from weeks that are all so different. Some of us had great weeks and some bad, but we all had struggles. Things didn't go right, things were missed, opportunities wasted. Heartaches and heartbreaks. We've all got our stories, God, as we stand before you to wrestle. Some of us have stories of grief. Some have stories from the past week of laughter and celebration. As we've just seen, God, some have stories of new chapters in their lives and new beginnings and new life in you. We all have our lives, Lord. We've all lived our lives. Some of us have lived well. Others, we've got regrets. But none of us are perfect as we wrestle with you this morning. And as we wrestle, Lord, we pray that you would win and we would lose. And that our eyes would be forced open to see. And our hearts open to love each other and to love what you're showing us. In Christ's name, amen. I can't resist, as I see a baptism, we preachers have thousands of baptism jokes. And I'll share one with you that I love. There's a great story of this Southern Baptist evangelist who was baptizing this particularly rotten little kid, just a terrible, no good, rotten person. It wasn't me, I promise. It could have been me. And so he takes him down to the riverside and he begins to plunge him into the waters and he holds him down and he brings him up and says, "Now tell me, boy, have you found Jesus?" And the boy said, "No, sir, I ain't." So he plunges him down again and brings him back up and says, "Boy, have you found Jesus?" "No, sir, I ain't." He plunges him down a third time and holds him until the bubbles stop. And brings him back up and says, "Boy, have you found Jesus?" And he says, "No, sir, I ain't. Are you sure he is down there?" There's a lot of confusion with this symbol, I think, sometimes about what it does and what it doesn't do and what it's supposed to do to us. But at the very core of it is that symbol that we have given our lives to God. And as I was told as a kid, that means everything is now going to be okay. You'll never have to worry anymore. You'll never have to struggle anymore. You'll never be sad again. And everything is just, as my child's favorite Christmas story says, so perfectly perfect. But then bad stuff happens, doesn't it? then things go awry. And it doesn't take long before something happens in our lives that make us question what we heard, that childish, simple message. You know, it doesn't take a lot for me personally to have a bad day. Take this scenario. Just put yourself in this story for a moment. Let's imagine you've got to go. You wake up one Saturday morning and you realize you've got to go to Walmart. Boom, bad day right there. You already know this is not going to end well. This is going to be bad. So you get in the car and traffic is terrible. People are driving either too slow or too fast. And you know, nobody drives the right speed, do they? Because you know what the right speed is? It's my speed. They're either going too fast or too slow, and you finally make it into this crazy maze called the parking lot, and you find a beautiful, pristine spot. Oh, it's a good one. And you get there, you put your turn signal on, you're waiting for that person, they're backing out, it's just perfect timing, they back out, they go, and then what happens? Somebody else cuts you off, and your day just got worse. Because this is at least my experience as the pastor. You want to lay on that horn. You want to use some words and say some things, but you can't, can you? So not only do you have that righteous anger, you have no outlet for it except to just go, bless you. Bless you, brother. I'll be praying for you. Huh? Then you finally find a parking lot space. It's, of course, at the end of the other side of the football fields that they call a parking plots. And you make your way down. You grab a buggy. You get in, you start pushing, and guess what? It's the only buggy left, but what's wrong with it? It's got that one wheel that won't turn the right way, so it's... And you realize that you got to go through your entire shopping experience with that buggy. People are... When I go to the grocery store or to Walmart, sometimes this is what it feels like to me. It feels like I am the only one in there shopping. Everybody else is there to barricade the aisles. And I've got places to go and things to grab off the shelf, but they're all in my way. It's a bad day. And then you get out, and you don't have time, so you got to rush your way to grab something to eat on your way back home. So you do the unspeakable sin. You go through McDonald's or Burger King or Hardee's. You do some terrible fast food option, and you order your hamburger with no cheese and no pickle, and you get in the car and you drive off and you take it out, and guess what it's got on it? Cheese and pickle. And then you're in that moral dilemma. Do I go back? It's not worth it. You drive on. You keep going. You get home. You take out the receipt, and you notice something you didn't notice in the store. You overpaid for something. Oh, I think I just heard somebody's heart break. Especially you ladies. Oh, that idea. And for me, it's usually something I was supposed to get for Kim. And so I've brought it home and I've overpaid for it. And then I feel that shame. Oh, that deep shame. It's easy for us to have bad days. But those are little things. Think about how those little things can work into our brains and into our hearts in such a way to just sour us. Not sometimes for days we could be somehow quietly, subtly frustrated or angry, and we might not even be able to place it back to that, but that was the source. Then throw something real in our lives, like a death. We don't know what to do. There are no words for what we feel. Or if someone, and sometimes this is worse, someone we love is suffering. That's hard. Or we lose our job. And all those questions that will swarm around us like a cloud, like a dark cloud. How will I do this? What will I do about that? What about the people I'm trying to take care of? So when the real problems hit us, we really lose our minds. We don't know how to respond. And you know, I had bad things happen before I became a disciple. I have bad things happen since I've become a disciple. You know, Jesus taught us that the rains and the floods and the winds are going to come against the house that's built on the sand, but they're also going to come against the house that's built on the rock, too.
And so there must be something deeper at play here than just saying, come to Jesus, follow him, and everything is going to be all right. That can't be the truth, because it isn't the truth. Or is it? Well, before I get talking into too many circles for you, add to this another layer. When we struggle, when we have hardships, when we have losses, when we experience pain, we experience all this essentially in a state of spiritual exile. We live in the post-Christian age, the post-church age. We live in a time where the most dominant forces and influences on culture, it's not the local church. You know, you hear all these people writing about this, blogging about this, crying about this, but it is the reality. We are in this season of exile, where we've been uprooted from those old, familiar, and comfortable roots, where everybody went to church and everybody loved Jesus and everybody was sweet on the street and sidewalks. We've been uprooted from that into an age where everything seems foreign, doesn't it? Everybody's beliefs seem so strange. Where the language of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even into the 90s was a language we understood when people talked about their struggles, or they talked about God, or they talked about the Bible. They spoke in a language that was familiar and comfortable. Now, when people start talking about God, sometimes we scratch our head and say, what are you even saying? It's all foreign. This is the experience of the exiles from Jerusalem uprooted to Babylon. Now they're in a position where their co-workers are not all God's children, at least the way they understood that meaning. Their co-workers aren't all Israelites. Everybody's talking a different language. When they talk about God, it's very different. It's concerning. It's jarring. It's shocking. The faith practices are different. Everything is different. The food is different. The culture is different. The clothing is different. And then that experience, what we often forget about, is the Israelites were still burying their mamas and daddies. They were getting sick and losing jobs. They were wrestling with questions about health care. They were wrestling with questions about job security, life security. So they were experiencing all of those hard, challenging moments of life, yet uprooted from the familiar, secure, comfortable cocoon of Zion. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That resonates with our lives. And so this is a very shocking passage of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 35. In the midst of that moment, in the midst of that experience, where the one thing their hearts long more than anything else is just to go home, to go back, To be with God the way they were with God before, to have their fortunes restored. And so the prophet speaks these words: say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance and terrible recompense. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. The water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. And come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and singing shall flee away. Amen. This is a a vision of perfection, of rapture, of joy, of celebration. It's this imagining of a moment where everything is just cotton candy and sweet dreams and perfect and beautiful and wonderful. And oh, can't you just wait? It's so good. It's the way through the wilderness. It's the way through the desert, the road home to Zion, that there's a path that God has laid out. But I think sometimes we miss a lot when we hear those words. Because on the one hand, the prophet is saying everything's going to be perfect, everything's going to be wonderful, there's a way through the desert. But did you catch it? It's still in the desert. It's still through the wilderness. He doesn't make all the bad things really go away. It's kind of the same paradox of where Jesus says, you know, come follow me, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. Oh, that sounds awesome. And then in another place it says, take up your cross and follow me. That sounds painful. You know, the paradox, it dissolves in this way, that when we begin to realize that no, our lives are not perfect and easy in Christ. Yes, we still have pain and suffering. Yes, we'll still have hard times. Yes, the way is still through the wilderness and in the desert. But he's with us. He guides us through it. He loves us through it. Did you know that when you weep, Jesus weeps with you? Now, whether that brings you any comfort, that's up to you. That's between you and God. But to me, it's an incredible thought that the master of the universe weeps when we weep. He does a lot of crying. And to acknowledge that this way in the wilderness is taking us somewhere. It is leading us somewhere. It's leading us through a difficult path, but we are going somewhere ultimate, something, somewhere final, somewhere where it will be perfectly perfect, even though it's not that way now. That brings me a lot of hope. Whether it brings you hope or not is between you and the Lord as well. But to imagine that we are going somewhere together. You know, when the Christian church first started in the first century, they didn't call themselves Christians. They called themselves the Way. Because they saw their lives as being a journey, a passage that they were going through this world. That we don't belong to this culture. We don't belong to the mindset. We don't belong to any government or to any group. We don't belong to anyone but the Lord, and our way is leading us closer to him. Of course, they just got this from Jesus, didn't they? Jesus said, I am what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, this idea of journey towards God. You know, when I was in the third grade, this is an embarrass myself moment. When I was in the third grade, I didn't know Kim, so it's okay to say this. I had the biggest crush on this girl who's going to remain nameless because Brooke's here and she might go back to Wifel and tell this person. But I had this biggest crush on this little girl. And of course, I'm in third grade, so I don't even know what that means. But, you know, I'd seen some movies and I knew that you're supposed to be in love. But this person crushed me. They were so mean and so heartless. And there I was, completely devastated and heartbroken. A little third grader, just crying his eyes out. And I remember sitting there on the couch at the farm, and my mom comes in. And she just kind of sits down beside me. She didn't say anything. She didn't try to make it all better. She didn't say, oh, I'm sure we could do something. I'm sure she'll change her mind. I'm sure she'll come to her senses. She didn't say, you know, well, there's more fish in the sea. She didn't try to give me some hokey advice. She didn't try to say, you know, well, the Lord's got someone special for you one day. You'll meet him. You know what? All she did is just sat there for a while. And after I cried a good cry, she said, we'll get through this, bud. And that was it. You know, I think that when we were going through on the way through the wilderness, and we're crying our cries and we're having our bad days, whether it be something drastic and dramatic like the death of someone or the loss of a job, or even when it's just simple things like that stupid wheel on that stupid buggy, it doesn't matter. God just kind of sits with us and hears us out, just sort of listens to what we got to say. He can take it. Even if we get mad at him, he's all right. He's not hurt. And then I think he just kind of says, we'll get through this, bud. We're going to make it. And to me, that's amazing. Let's never forget how amazing that is. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to remember indeed how amazing that is. Help us to remember that you are with us. You're sitting with us on the mourner's bench. And that even though you don't make all the bad things go away, Lord, thank you that you sympathize with us, that you encourage us, and that you help us see that there is a way forward. There is another day. There is a tomorrow. We thank you for Jesus. He went through more. He suffered more. He's shown us that our way should always be fixed and focused on you, to see past the hurt toward the love that you have for us and the glory that awaits us. Help us to find strength in that and to offer that strength to each other, to be Jesus for one another. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you this morning respond to God's word however you feel led? Maybe you need to simply sit back down and take a moment of prayer to wrestle with God about whatever you're struggling with today, because I know we are all struggling with something. Perhaps you want to use this song as a moment of praise or thanksgiving for God's presence in your life. Or if you need someone to pray with, of course, I'm always here for you. But however God has challenged you or encouraged you, would you respond together? If you're able, we stand as we sing, "Come Just As You Are."